Baby, now you ready. Baby, now you ready.
Welcome to the Full Press Packers Pod, part of Full Press Coverage. My name is Kyle Senra. Joining me is my co-host, Jesse Hall. How are you doing, Jesse?
I'm doing good. Probably better than the Packers wide receiver bunch right now, but no complaints over here.
Yeah, certainly. Better than Joe Barry as well, defensive coordinator. Some news, we'll get to that real quick, but in advance of this Thursday night matchup against the Cardinals, returning guest of this season, double duty for Ryan Edvardirata as 49ers and Cardinals managing editor over at Full Press Coverage. So, Ryan, welcome back to the pod.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Glad I could be back, and I did not test positive for COVID.
Well, that's good news.
Yeah, positive news there. Great. But yes, not the case for the Packers. So as mentioned, Joe Barry, defensive coordinator, it seems like that's how it all started. He tested positive for COVID. And I know that the designation on the rest of the players in particular is not so clear, but with the coaches, it seems like they're more willing to divulge information like that. So it seems like Barry has tested positive. From what I was reading, I know Zach Kruse, Packers Wire, was doing a big report on that, talking about he's going to be involved in game planning. Obviously, they're going to need a new play caller. So I guess right off the bat, Jesse, what's the fallout from coaching? I so far haven't heard any other coaches test positive. So it looks like that for now, Joe Barry is the only coach he'll be without to make the trip to Arizona. But your thoughts on all of that.
Yeah. No other coaches that I'm aware of. Jerry Gray is going to call the plays. So, which was kind of the no-brainer choice. You know, here's a guy with a defensive coordinator experience, long time in the NFL. So he's going to do the play calling on defense. You know, Barry's going to said they really didn't practice this week. They're just doing walkthroughs. So I'm sure he's doing a lot of remote stuff. Hey, next man up, even on the coaching staff.
Yeah, absolutely. Two stints, I believe, for Gray as defensive coordinator. Titans and Bills, if I remember correctly. You're saying like long time in the NFL. I mean, he's been decades in the NFL because I was looking. He was a defensive coordinator with the Bills in like 2004, I think something like that, 2003, 2004. So that, you know, he's been defensive coordinator now, and this will be in a third different decade. Or at least defensive play call, even if this is just for one game. But yeah, so at least that experience is there. I know there was also talk of Mike Smith, the outside linebackers coach. Could he maybe be a candidate to call plays, but has not done it yet in the NFL? So makes sense to go with someone, especially on a short week, that has that knowledge, even if it's not calling this defensive system exactly, at least has done that before, even if it's been a few years.
Right. Yeah. I mean, like you said, it just stacked the cards a little bit more, you know, West Coast Thursday night game, traditionally the last couple of years going to the West Coast has not been favorable. So yeah, let's just add on top of that.
So Ryan, have there been any, Cardinals players or coaches, with any, COVID news, this week, or is everything at least in that regard, smooth sailing for Arizona?
Yeah, pretty much. Arizona has been hit, about a week or so ago. They had, obviously, Cliff Kingsbury was missing due to a positive test. I believe they also had a couple of players on defense. I believe Chandler Jones was one of them that was out. Pretty much everyone's set for return. It's pretty much the opposite of what's going on for Green Bay right now. Everyone's kind of set to return from, you know, COVID list, and the team is fairly healthy right now.
Yeah, so talk about players. Right now, two Packers wide receivers have been added this week onto the COVID list. I think there's actually three wide receivers on the list. Malik Taylor has now been on the list for a couple of weeks now. So that leads me to think Malik Taylor tested positive a while back and is still. I'm just hoping he's okay. But like if he's dealing with symptoms long term like that over multiple weeks, that might not be so good health wise for him, but we'll obviously keep our thoughts for Malik Taylor. But Davante Adams and Alan Lazard both joining him on that list. From what is being stated, Alan Lazard was ruled out immediately. It seems like that was more close contact tracing from Adams, who I think might have gotten close contact tracing from Joe Barry. Now that as soon as one member of the team tests positive, suddenly everyone's getting tested more regularly. So, I mean, to be honest, like we're recording this Tuesday night, October 26th, so a couple days before the game. I mean, there could be more positive tests pop up Wednesday, right? So this might not be even fully done to what the extent we're at now. So Lazard ruled out. Jesse, I don't know if you've heard anything on Adams, but from my understanding, as he's vaccinated and all he needs is two negative tests 24 hours apart. Adams has not been ruled out yet, to my knowledge, so he could still play in theory. But I think there's literally zero margin of error there. Like, he would have needed a negative test today and a negative test tomorrow to leave with the team Thursday.
Yeah, or, you know, negative test tomorrow, then have him on a private jet Thursday. He needs two negatives in 24 hours. So that's clear cut and dry. That's what it is. So I don't expect him to play, but hey, he's not ruled out.
Yeah, we'll see. No news today yet, in my mind, is a good thing. I feel like if you test negative today, they probably weren't going to make a big deal out of it, because knowing that it needs the two. So not hearing anything, I think, is good news. Whereas like you're saying, maybe he could do it Wednesday and then Thursday morning. So that's one we're not really going to know, unfortunately. So, but I guess with Lazard out for sure and Adams potentially out, it seems like Marquez Valdes-Scantling, activated off IR, he's slated to return. From all the reports, he is going to play, and I would assume start for the Packers on Thursday night.
Yeah. When you got a short week and they kind of said they're just doing walkthroughs, how much real practice is he getting in this week? So I'm kind of expecting him to play. They activated him this morning. He claimed he was ready to play 2 weeks ago, so we'll see. You know, every player is going to tell you that.
And we know the Packers are traditionally very patient with injuries, and they'll hold out players longer than what, certainly what the players think. So expect Valdes-Scantling, Randall Cobb, Equanimeous St. Brown, and then the tight end Robert Tonyan. I think those are going to be kind of the four main targets. Actually, who knows? Aaron Jones might lead the team in targets and catches.
Yeah, I mean, if we want to be positive, you know, we're 6-0 without Adams under Matt LaFleur. So I'm not saying we're better without him. Kind of like what Aaron Rodgers said today, we're obviously not better without him. But, you know, other guys got to step up, and it kind of changes our attack. So we'll see. It's going to be the Aaron Jones show, if you have to ask me.
I think that's a little skewed, because I think about that Eagles game where he hurt his foot. Like, they barely lost that game. And Adams was having a monster game, like, as like the primary target. If he'd played healthy that game, they probably would have won. So I count that as a loss without Adams, to be honest. But whatever. Well, that's the nice stat for the positive thinking. So sorry, Packers fans, I ruined the positive thoughts, which I think was going to be the case this week anyway. But Ryan, I don't want to ignore the guests, but talking about the Packers receivers, and I think back to Jesse's Know the Foe article this week, and he mentioned it, like the key piece of the secondary seems like it's Buda Baker. So what do you think the defensive matchups are going to be? And knowing like how the Packers run, you know, Equanimeous St. Brown, Valdes-Scantling is the speed guys on the perimeter, Cobb in the slot, Tonyan kind of over, a lot of seam routes through the middle. Where do you think the best place for the Packers is to exploit the secondary if there is such a weak spot?
Honestly, when I take a look at it, I feel like Baker typically is used to cover the best inside wide receiver. So usually that's going to be your tight end. You kind of look at a similar type of offenses. Typically, Buda Baker is the guy who's either going to be covering the running back coming out of the flat, or he's going to be covering the tight end. So look at like the 49ers and that offense with Kyle Shanahan. Baker is talented. He can do the job very well. Against upper tier tight ends, he will, struggle just like anyone else. But the key is that he's all around the football. So he's one of those players where if he gets going early, he gets some early tackles, especially tackle for losses. He's going to get very active. He's someone who is, while being very much one of the better safeties in the league, it still feels like he's a lot, quite a bit underrated, because he doesn't get as much, I guess you could say, publicity as everyone else does. But that defense, the big key, is when you're looking at the receivers, is you still have a fairly talented, if not still gelling, secondary for the Cardinals. You still have a lot of talent around on the edges. You have some, obviously you have Buda Baker, who's a very good safety, but you also have athletic linebackers who can kind of help muddle up the middle. And that's the big thing, is if you can kind of muddle up that middle right now, because you're going to basically be putting a lot of pressure on Aaron Rodgers to find guys open. And I'm not sure if there's going to be a lot of guys who are going to be running free on Thursday night.
The way you're describing that, Ryan, that tells me the guy is going to be Randall Cobb. And just because it seems like when no one can get open, Cobb will always find a way. If the protection holds up, and or if Rodgers rolls out and can kind of scramble, it seems like Cobb is going to be the go-to guy. But then you're mentioning, I think if the Cardinals are smart, maybe not put Baker on Tonyan, instead to have Buda Baker maybe shut down Randall Cobb, might actually be the way to really stifle the Packers offense.
I'll be honest, just from looking at it from the opposite side, just looking at what Buda Baker does best, it would be beneficial for the Packers if the Cardinals did put Baker on Cobb more than 50% of the time. If he's the primary cover guy for Cobb, that would be great, because you take away a guy from the box area. That's ideally what you would want to do.
Yeah, I was just going to kind of bounce off of that. That's where, you know, the running game, and then it's MVS coming back and stretching the field. You know, you're talking about with this athletic linebackers, and then you got a guy always around the ball. Well, you got a deep threat where you can try to spread them out a little bit and open up some windows. So MVS coming back really kind of changes what we like to do. So that's the big thing, trying just to open this field up a little bit. But yeah, that's a lot of athletes in that secondary, and especially linebacker, young kids, but, you know, jump out of the gym athletes. So running game and make maybe some deep shots. That's the only way you're going to loosen them up, I think.
But of course, all that is with the pass rush, right? And Ryan, you mentioned it, Chandler Jones, slated to return this week, which maybe you're adding him and taking someone out of the lineup, because I'm looking at the injury report and JJ Watt hasn't practiced this week with a shoulder injury. Is this one where this is planned, not practice? Like, he's not 100% good enough to play, but they're just not going to practice him at all in the short week? Or like, is there concern with these, that like the no practice today, that he might actually miss Thursday's game?
It doesn't seem like there's too much worry about him playing. So far, from what we've seen and what we've heard, JJ Watt is expected to play. I do think it's more of a it's a short week, so they gave him an extra day. He looked good last week. I mean, there's a good amount of guys who are slightly banged up, but for the most part, I do think he's going to play. I do think he's going to be fairly effective in terms of, I don't think he's going to really have any hindrances. I think it's just more or less giving him extra day to rest, just because it's going to be a short week.
So I'm looking at the spread for this game. Last time I checked, it was Cardinals favored by 6. I don't know if anyone's seen any updated lines. I feel like I saw that line after the Adams news came out. I don't think the Lazard news is really pushing it that much more. But I think a big factor for that, though, going in, was the fact that the Cardinals, I don't know if we mentioned this on the show yet, the only undefeated team left in the NFL, perfect 7-0 so far. So, Ryan, how has, just kind of your thoughts on the fact that the Cardinals are 7-0 and what the journey's been through the season up to this point?
Yeah, I mean, so far this year, they are their record. I mean, in the NFL, a lot of times you talk about, where you hear people talking about, you know, well, this team got lucky or at this time or whenever. But the truth of the matter is, they played 7 games and they won all of them. Now, granted, there were a good amount of moments where this team doesn't quite resemble a team that is 7-0. When they are hitting on all cylinders, especially on offense, they're very difficult to beat. I do think that they will come back to the pack a bit over the last half of the season. That said, I mean, whenever there's been an issue that they've had to kind of overcome, you saw it against, the Vikings, and they were able to take advantage of the missed field goal and they won it. You saw it against Jacksonville when they were down at halftime and then they found a way to come back and then eventually win that game going away. They play against the 49ers, and honestly, if maybe the 49ers were more healthy, then you would have seen a 49ers victory, but they did what they needed to do defensively and offensively, and they win. This team is taking the next step from where they were last year. Last year, there were a lot of games over the last half, especially, they were in position to win the division and then they fell apart in the end. And I think this year's team, especially with the additions of someone like JJ Watt, AJ Green, they've basically created an even stronger locker room presence because of those two veterans. And then, of course, you have all the young guys coming in. So they're a very fun team to watch right now. I don't think they've played their best so far, meaning they haven't, you know, played a full game. I think it's going to come, but I also think that this team, realistically, I think they're still going to win the division, and I think they're going to be probably the top two, at least one or two. That's pretty much something that I'd be willing to put money on right now.
One thing I got to say is I've heard people talk about that as well, that the leadership factor, maybe more so than the coaching staff, is coming from veteran players. You mentioned J.J. Watt, A.J. Green, and I remember listening to another podcast mentioned those exact two names. Does Rodney Hudson get no love at all? Because I feel like he might be arguably the most important addition of those three veterans, right? That just that presence in the middle of that offensive line that has been a struggle the last few years, really kind of solidifying itself. So how has Hudson's play and really the offensive line change this year, Ryan?
Yeah, Hudson's really the stable. He's been the stabilizing force in that offensive line. Granted, he's on IR right now. He's been battling an injury. So on the field, he hasn't really been able to contribute as much. But definitely through the offseason, through preseason, training camp, he's the reason why you had a lot of guys just start playing a lot better. Overall, the offensive line, they've always had some talent there. The offensive line, I'll be honest with you, is very much average, though. The fact that they have Kyler Murray back there is what really helps a lot of times, you know, their staff in terms of giving up sacks, that type of thing. The ground game is really where they excel at. But you're absolutely right. You know, you have these veteran guys that came in, and you look at the difference from last year. It's just that when these games start unraveling, the Cardinals seem to be able to do what they need to do to kind of center themselves, to kind of regroup. You know, last year, games against like Tampa Bay, for instance, and even late against San Francisco last season, close games, made a few mistakes, and then suddenly the ball just kind of kept rolling away from them. And then this year, it just seems like they make a mistake or something happens, and then, okay, no, well, no problem. Defense is going to shut this, you know, is going to shut this drive down, or offense is going to go ahead and go on a longer drive. It just seems like everything's working. And you look at the rest of the league, and a lot of people will tell you this, is that coaching will only take you so far. A good team becoming a great team comes down to the actual players being the leaders, because you can't have the coaches constantly telling you what to do or kind of checking each other. So it's going to come down to the players. And I think this year's Cardinals team, they finally have that good mix of veteran leaders who are ready to kind of push forward and help these young guys win.
I want to just look back at the injury report real quick. It's talking about AJ Green, not the only veteran receiver. I mean, DeAndre Hopkins, obviously he was on the team last year, but that's another veteran receiver they brought in over the last couple of years to complement a guy like Christian Kirk or this year's rookie Rondale Moore. Hopkins this week also hasn't practiced. A little bit like Watt, is it just, you know, because I think Hopkins had kind of been dealing with injuries the last few weeks. Does it seem like it's just, again, they're resting him, they're not planning to practice him, he kind of doesn't need to practice, and he'll be fine to play even if he doesn't practice this week?
Yeah, Hopkins has been kind of nursing an injury for most of the season, it feels like. I think part of it is just because he's a big usage guy, let's be honest. I think he's also a guy like Watt. So far, I've seen nothing that says he's not going to play. I haven't heard any reports that says he's doubtful. I believe, like at most recent check, that he was still scheduled to play. I think he's a guy who's they're just keeping out because, I mean, let's be honest, again, short week, he knows what he's going to be doing. There's nothing special for the most part about this game plan that's going to be happening. I think it's just giving them some time off, an extra day off, because it's good. It's a very short week. And if they're not at least doing a walkthrough or something like that on Wednesday, then maybe a little bit of concern. But I don't see any issues with either of those two names playing on Thursday.
So, Jesse, looking over to the Packers injury report, noticed some good news. Rasul Douglas, who did get a little banged up in the game against Washington, he's practiced fully this week with the shoulder injury, so expecting to play and probably start. I guess it depends really on Kevin King's availability, but there's a few players, four Packers players in particular. Kenny Clark, Dean Lowry, who both played last game, but they're both been limited all week at practice, both with ankle injuries, actually.
Yeah, ankles, typical midway part of the season, getting banged up a little bit, but they're going to play. I mean, again, like such a weird, I hate Thursday games. I'm on record. I'll say that. I can't stand it, especially, you know, these guys go through car wrecks every Sunday, then they got to turn around and play. And kind of like with what Arizona's doing, you know, they're really not worried about J.J. Watt and Nuke. Well, I'm not really worried about Kenny and Dean Lowry. They're going to play. You know, a guy like Preston or something, that's probably a guy you're going to leave out another week just because, you know, why push it? But, yeah, and it's good to see Douglas because he did get banged up, but he was full participant in, let's be honest, walkthroughs, not real practices. So take it for what it's worth.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. But it was interesting to see, like, Clark and Lowry have the same, like, limited designations as Kevin King and Preston Smith. And I was thinking that, too, that, okay, you know, Clark and Lowry, I thought I remember seeing Lowry go out of that Washington game, and I remember Clark did parts of, was it the Bears game, I think. But, yeah, I expected them to both play. It didn't seem like anything was too serious, but it was, the guys that Kevin King, Preston Smith, that missed the previous game, which is, I was surprised that was Preston Smith's first game in his career that he missed. It was over 100 consecutive games. Like, what a way to go. And unfortunately, the first game he misses was against his old team in Washington. So unfortunate there. But yeah, I was kind of thinking that the same thing, even though it's the same practice designation, those players that missed last week would be maybe a longer shot to play. So that's why I'm thinking Rasul Douglas probably starts this week. And I don't know, the way he's been playing, if King comes back, maybe Douglas starts anyway over King.
I agree. I mean, they always like to say, you know, you don't lose your job because of injury. That's crap. That's not true. How do you take a guy off that's showing out? You know, now that's not to say the other guy's not going to get some, you know, opportunities, but Douglas has looked really good. He fits the scheme. So we'll see. Hey, it's good to have competition, right? Especially with Kevin King.
We don't have to get into the Kevin King highlights or lowlights too much. Ryan, were there any final thoughts that you had about this Packers-Cardinals game on Thursday night?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be one. It's going to be fun just to see, you know, Aaron Rodgers and Kyler Murray. It's always fun because now, especially, you know, the Cardinals are starting to get a little bit more, you know, airtime on, you know, at least a little bit more time on national TV. Maybe not so much their games, but at least some of the conversation. It's a very talented team. I'm not entirely bought in yet on Cliff Kingsbury. I do think a lot of it is the talent that they have right now combined with the veterans. I honestly think that's the biggest reason and the catalyst behind what's going on this season. It's hard for me to pick against the Cardinals because of the fact that on paper, they have pretty much an advantage at just about every position that counts for the most part, except for obviously quarterback. And even then, I wouldn't necessarily say either team would be upset if they had to trade quarterbacks. So, I mean, realistically, it's going to be a fun game, man. And hopefully, you know, there's nothing serious in terms of injuries and we just get a lot of scoring.
I'll be honest, Jesse, I'm not sure how you were thinking, but even before the Adams news, I thought the Packers were going to be hard-pressed to win this game. That this is one where, again, maybe they exercised a bit of the demons traveling to the West Coast with that that win against the 49ers earlier in the season. But this was one where I still felt like a loss was going to be in store. I loved the fact that the Cardinals were undefeated. Okay, let the Packers try to break that stretch and be the first to hand this team a loss. And I'm sure the Packers are going to want to rise to that challenge, but I don't think it's happening. I think this undefeated streak keeps going for at least one more week. I don't know if that's me being a pessimistic Packers fan, but I know looking at the schedule as the season, we talked about this rough stretch, and when we talked about it specifically, I think this was the game we were maybe thinking like the most worried about, the short turnaround Thursday night. So I think when I went through the schedule, I said four or five losses, and this was one I thought for sure would be a loss, maybe one of the two hardest games on the schedule in my mind. I know the other one will be a little bit further down the stretch, but how do you think? Am I being too pessimistic, Packer, here?
Well, I agree with you that, yeah, this was the game, you know, that we were worried about because that Cardinals team is learning how to win. They're good. Now they're learning how to win. I agree everything Ryan said about that. Man, you and me are always so different every week. Last week you were the most confident. I'm like, I don't know, the Washington. Listen, this is going to be a fun game for me. Yeah, just seeing what Packer Nation, we're missing Devontae and Al Lazard's out. The sky is not falling. I'm not going to go out and say, yeah, we're going to go in there and win. But listen, let's see what I don't want to say this game doesn't matter either, but it's a short week. The biggest thing Green Bay needs to do is be competitive, especially with those guys out. Go in there, show that you can go toe-to-toe with this team. That's going to gain a little bit of confidence, not being out there with your – I mean, look at how injured we are. We're missing – if you look at the top 10 Packers, if you ranked them at the beginning of the year, we're missing half of them. So go be competitive. You know, you have to play a clean game against this good football team. So ultra-focused. It seems like Aaron Rodgers locks in when it's like, okay, I don't have my guy out there, so I got to do different things. I'm looking for Matt LaFleur's smart game plan. Come in there and just compete. Am I going to say a victory? No, I'm not. But I think it's going to be a competitive game. And let's enjoy it. Get the mini bye. Hopefully get people back healthy. And then go on a run. Because at the beginning of the year, this stretch, we're like, oh, man, we're going up the murderer's row. Well, Kansas City's kind of beat up. They're not playing good football. This is not as scary of a stretch. So even if we don't get this one done, let's just show we belong. We can't have a stinker like week one or against the Bucks last year. So just go in there and be competitive, and I will be happy.
I mean, that was a good point, just talking about, like, not just the number of Packers injured, but the significance of who they are. I mean, if you're going to rank who the best Packers players, Davante Adams, David Bakhtiari, Jair Alexander, Za'Darius Smith, like you're saying, that's, you know, you're saying half the top 10. I say that's maybe four of the maybe six best players.
Right.
Maybe seven. Like, you know, Aaron Rodgers, Kenny Clark, Elton Jenkins. Those are probably your three best players, honestly. And like, yeah, you've lost more than half of your top seven. So we'll see. And I think that, yeah, this will show a lot about the coaching staff, how prepared they can have this team under such unusual circumstances. But I think that the mental fortitude will show itself. Again, we'll see. We'll have to see how it goes. We'll definitely recap on the next time. But Ryan, is there anything you want to share, any work you want to plug? And of course, let people know where they can find and follow you.
Yeah, definitely. Like, as usual, you know, definitely keep following us on fullpresscoverage.com. Got Full Press 49ers and then FPC Cardinals. So definitely go ahead and give us a follow. This week would be a lot more easier for me because the games aren't on the same day. So that should help a lot. But honestly, like, you know, just go in there Thursday. If you've never seen the Cardinals play, just you're in for a treat because you have probably the one of the best young quarterbacks, you know, in the game right now in Kyler Murray. And you have him matched up with someone like, you know, you have Hopkins there. And it's just fun to watch the two of them and just kind of enjoy the ride because it's been a while since Arizona's had an exciting offense with this type of a quarterback and a young quarterback and someone that you can see growing with the team. So it'll be interesting. We might see some fireworks. Of course, you know, the Thursday night thing always happens where the games are just like low scoring slugfest. So hopefully we get something different this time.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, actually, it's funny. We talk so little about the quarterback, but Jesse, this is probably this is the best quarterback the Packers have faced yet this year.
Oh, easy. Hands down. It's not even close.
That'll be exciting. Of course, you can follow along all the action on Twitter at FPC_Packers. Your co-hosts individually, Jesse's at Hall_J Hall 1212. I'm at Senra Says. As always, download the Full Press Coverage app. That'll give you access to all the Full Press Coverage content in one convenient location. And it is available for free on Android and iOS stores. So download the Full Press Coverage app today. Shout out to PA the Second. Follow him on Twitter at PA_II official. He lets us use the song Now You as our intro and outro music. So, Jesse, any final thoughts for the listeners?
Yeah, this is why you play the game, right? Go Pack, go.
Yeah, for sure. Try and take down the undefeated team. We'll recap to see if they were successful next time on the Full Press Packers Pod.